This is He Said, Ella Dijo with Eric Winter and Rosalind Sanchez.
Hello, hello. Welcome back after a Thanksgiving break.
Yes.
We didn't get to talk about, well, a week's passed since you hosted the Grammys. You were in Vegas doing that.
Viva.
What are you going to talk about that on the podcast? Because we took a week off. But do you want to share with the listeners how your experience was at the Latin Grammys?
It was incredible. I had a great time. It was a little scary because Dylan got a little sick and then he gave it to me and I got it really bad. I had the weekend before the Grammys. I was in bed. It was really bad. I lost my voice. So I flew to Vegas with zero voice and I'm hosting the event. So the rehearsals, everybody was very, very concerned. I was concerned. I kept calling you saying, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this.
You didn't I don't think you called me once.
Well, I'll text you. I texted you many times saying, I don't know.
You called me the whole trip.
Yes, I did. Well, I was in communication at all times. You see, guys, that's how she's... Oh, my God. Here we go.
What happened?
I texted him. You knew exactly what was going on at all times.
You called to talk to the kids?
Yeah, of course. Anyways, I was taking care of myself and my voice came back. I still don't have it 100%. It sounded funky, but I was able to do the show. The glam team was incredible. The dresses were beautiful. I think it was a success. The show was outstanding. I'm very happy. So thank you to the Academy, the Latin Grammys, Univision, for having me for the fifth time. I so much appreciate it. A mí me encanta host ese evento maravilloso.
You did look beautiful. The pictures you posted look beautiful.
Thank
so even though
you.
I couldn't speak to you or you didn't, I didn't go to Vegas. I couldn't make it. I was working.
Shocker. Eric didn't go.
I couldn't go. I was working. I was filming all week.
You should have asked for the day off. Like I told you, weeks off.
That's the problem. It was okay.
Can you do me a favor? If I'm blessed enough that they call me to do it again next year, can you just show up? Maybe surprise me?
I can't just leave production. I worked maybe six scenes on the day of the Grammys.
For the days off.
So I can't, well, I mean, we can try in advance, but can you do me a favor and try and call me the next time you go to Vegas and let me know how things are going?
I text you and I voice text you all the time, but I will.
Maybe other people do long distance by just text. I wonder if people.
Oh my goodness. Eric was upset because I don't like his Instagrams. He texted me Thursday morning, the day of the event.
That's actually a good topic.
Eric texted me asking me, do I actually heart people's posts? Because
true.
I found it odd
that
I don't do that a lot. And Nicole Parker and Boris.
And Mario and Courtney, who we want to have back on the show.
I know we want to. We love them so much. He was giving me shit, guys, because I don't heart.
It's an honest question. And if, people who are married out there, as I was texting, I was like, this is a bit of a petty text, but I kind of want to ask because I'm very curious because every time my wife posts a picture and I'm like, oh, she looks beautiful. I give it a heart or I might put like fire with like blowing her a kiss or like just some kind of like nice gesture or comment. And I started looking, I'm like, wow, my wife never comments or likes on any of my posts. And I don't post that much.
You don't post. But let's start
so that should be even easier for you because you'd have to like or
I do heart
comment
you stuff. And sometimes I do post. I don't like a lot of people's stuff. I just go really fast.
You definitely don't like me. So my comment was, I was like, wow, this is interesting. I said, Roz, do you like people's posts on Instagram? And she goes, well, yeah, sometimes I do. Why are you asking? I said, oh, okay. Because I wonder why.
I said, why are you asking? Because I don't heart yours.
No, you didn't say that. I said, because I wonder why. Well, I don't know if you were that direct.
Keep talking.
I said, I wonder why you heart other people's things and comment on them, but you don't do it with your own husband.
Here you go, guys. I'm going to show you evidence because I think it's important.
Well, no, it's not. I mean, it doesn't really change the topic.
No, but
you
I
might
did,
have said
I did
why
ask,
because I don't like yours.
I knew exactly what you were coming for. So can you believe, guys, I am hosting a live event, Latin Grammys. I'm rehearsing. I don't have a voice. I'm freaking out. And that's the passive-aggressive text that I get.
Passive-aggressive? Do you heart?
Yeah,
it was honest.
It wasn't the time. Anyways, Is there ever a good time? Anyways, so I was like, you know what? Yeah, I hear you. I'm going to be compassionate. From now on, I'm going to heart your stuff.
But now we all know that.
If
you ever see Rosalind's heart on my Instagram, just know that it was done out of force,
no,
and not because she actually likes.
I do like. I like everything
or
you post.
Doesn't comment on my post.
I like everything you post. I can't find it, but I'm gonna have evidence next week.
There you go. She can't find it. I just think it's an important thing. It's like showing spousal support for the things that they're doing. Like I found myself liking all these pictures of her, commenting on some, and I was like, part of me was going, well, she doesn't like any of the things I do, so do I need to be the supportive husband liking all hers? Yes, I still will because I'm that guy.
That's anyways, let's talk about...
It's good for debate.
Thanksgiving. Why don't you talk about the amazing things that your wife cooked for the family?
Yeah, you went all out with a little Puerto Rican Thanksgiving. It was good. You did. I'm very impressed. Very impressed with your cooking. You always say you can't cook, and you actually... You're getting better and better.
Maybe
it's with age.
Maturity.
Like a fine wine. Chef.
I become a fine chef. That's a good one.
Possible.
Like five wine. Fine chef.
I think so.
I'm gonna use
we have more holidays chef. Coming up. Are you going to cook for Christmas too?
I cook for Christmas. Yo puedo cocinar para Navidad.
Sí.
Ese pobre lechón.
Pasteles, tostones de pana, ajito, the plátano.
Lo que pasa
maduro.
Es que no pork. No pork because
sí,
I don't eat pork
claro,
anymore.
I like some pork.
You want to have some pork?
No, some roasted.
Some pork. You know what I got, guys? I did a smoked chicken for Thanksgiving. Filled with mofongo and it was the bomb.
Yeah, it was delicious. You know, it's crazy. So we have something coming up. You know, we when we get opportunities to travel together, we obviously like to. Is this like an officially closed deal? Can you talk about what you're going to be doing for New Year's?
Yeah.
You can talk about it. It's closed.
I hope so. I think so.
So she got offered to do the first ever ball dropping in Puerto Rico as a correspondent to the Ryan Seacrest, Dick Clark, yeah. New Year's Eve ball dropping, which is really exciting.
In Puerto Rico at this new area in San Juan or Miramar or around that area called El Distrito, the district. And it's happening. It's popping at night with restaurants and hotels and it's just gorgeous. So I am going to be hosting that portion every time the camera goes to Puerto Rico. I'm going to present a big act. And
I'll just be sitting on stage and liking her Instagram posts while she will not like mine.
Can you not be sarcastic and passive aggressive one more time and just be truthful and say it with love? I hope you are.
Well, I'm going, aren't I?
You are going, yeah.
Yeah.
You got invited.
And am I going?
Yes, of
course. I was invited to Latin Grammys. Did I go? No, I'm going to this, right?
I wonder why.
Why what?
Oh, because you're off, you're not working?
Yeah, it's a holiday.
Otherwise, you wouldn't go either.
Well, I don't know. You just said I got invited.
I'm joking. Listen, we have a situation going on. You see, my voice is still so bad. It's crazy. We have a situation. I told Sabella about this thing because she asked me.
Why'd you tell her?
For my birthday, I want to go to Matiti. Matiti is her godmother, like my sister, my best friend. She lives in Western Florida, close to Miami. So she said, for my birthday, I want to go for a week and visit Matiti and be with Sienna Rose and Francio, which are her kids. And I was like, oh my God, that's so sweet. Oh, you know, that's amazing because we're going to be in Puerto Rico for New Year's Eve. It just kind of came out. I didn't even think about it. And she's like, what do you mean?
Never
has
a filter.
He's like, oh, I'm going to have to, well, we have to say it at some point.
Well, I mean, yeah, let's get closer and
so,
say it, present it differently.
Anyway, so I said, no, we have to be, me and daddy are going to be in Puerto Rico for just 3 days for New Year's Eve because mommy has to go to work. And so, where are we going to be? And I'm going, oh, you're going to stay here with grandma and the doggies. And she was like, so you're going to receive the year without us? Wow. Great parenting. And I was like, oh my God. She was going, great parenting. Wow. And I was like, no. But step. And then the nanny was like, that's not good. And I was like, just stop. Anyways, which she's right. It's not good. So we have to address that situation. Good luck addressing
well,
that.
Well, I mean, I would not have presented it to her that way, unfortunately.
Well,
what was going to be
your presentation?
Well, no, I think when it got closer, we just said, listen, we have to go to Puerto Rico. It's unfortunate, but somebody's going to be here. Delby's going to be here and grandma's going to be here. They're going to watch you guys for a few days. We have to go for work. It'll be a quick trip. We just downplay it.
The problem is the New Year's Eve situation.
Well, the kids are always asleep on New Year's Eve anyways.
No,
that's what's funny.
Still New Year's
they
Eve.
Go to bed and they're asleep at a certain time. So they don't really celebrate. They're still too young to really like stay up all night till midnight and celebrate.
Anyways, you just know that that's coming. And she's you guys have a soap opera.
So you set
written
me up. You
every
set
single
me
day
up for
this is incredible,
failure.
Guys. My husband and my daughter they do an episode of a soap opera every single day. They fight, then they're fine, then they apologize, and then they fight again. And she can live without him, but wants to be free and not be controlled and eat whatever she wants and just go and do whatever she wants. But she's obsessed, and it's the most interesting. It's true what many people have said to you. You guys have known each other from past lives. Yes. I don't know if you were a husband, a slave, a boyfriend, a brother.
It's possible.
Crazy, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, we have, but then like, we'll argue about something. And then like last night I was working late and she tells my mom, make sure daddy comes in and takes a video of me sleeping so that I know that he checked on me.
No, she didn't.
For proof.
No, she didn't.
Yeah. And of course I didn't take a video. And then when she woke up this morning, did you take a video of me sleeping? I said, no, sir, because I wasn't going to wake you up. And the night before that, she said, make sure daddy comes in and checks on me and writes me a note letting me know that he came.
Yeah,
in.
And she keeps the notes, like post-its.
She keeps all my notes,
how do you
yeah.
call that? You call them like post-its, whatever you do? She keeps them on her lamp. All this little note saying, that was here, Sebi, I love you, daddy loves you, da-da. She keeps all these notes. It's really, it's adorable, actually. It's
and then
beautiful.
She screams at me.
And then she's like, dad! I'm going, but about, she's a trip. Anyways, crazy, right?
Parenting. But yeah, I think New Year's is going to be fun. We're going to have to make it work. I think it's important that, you know, mommy and daddy go and have a nice New Year's. I mean, you're going to be working. It's not going to be that much of a vacation, but it's important that we go have that kind of a celebratory time and go just enjoy New Year's and do something we haven't done like that in a while. So I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be fun. Let's not be negative about it. I mean, you set me up for a fight, but let's not be negative about it. So we have a very interesting guest, a great guest, a good actress named Alana Ubach coming on the show. She's been in, I mean, countless things. I think
140 credits. Yeah, so credits. She's been working for a long time.
Which is a gift to be in the business that long and to be working that long. But what I can't wait to talk to her about is voice acting. She's a huge voice actress, which to me is something that I've always wanted to get into. I've tried different times. It's very challenging to be a voice actor because it's a very tight club to get into.
You think so?
That's what I've always been told.
Really?
Unless people just don't like my voice.
You have a great voice. My mom loves your voice. You know that.
Well, apparently people in the voice acting world don't. I've never booked a job. But it's a great way to make a living. You show up in sweatpants and you get to just freaking record your voice all day, doing an amazing, fun piece. Like she was in the movie Coco. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. So I can't wait to talk to her about all this.
Yes.
Let's take a break.
Be really good.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hey.
How you doing?
We're doing
great.
Good.
Thank you for joining us.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. My pleasure. I had a blowout yesterday to look like a real, very conservative lady. So I'm just not used to like my hair the way it is.
Is your hair generally curly or is it always straight?
It's really curly.
Oh, is
it? Oh, like me.
Her being Puerto Rican, and I've seen when her hair gets, she calls it
She's
island
half
hair.
Puerto Rican.
I know. You're half Puerto Rican, half Mexican, right?
Yeah, half Puerto Rican, half Mexican. Now, are you a couple?
Yeah, we're married.
Yeah,
we have two kids.
We've
been here 15 years.
What a... You guys make a handsome damn couple. I mean, I either someone's put something in my drink or you guys are like the hottest things I've seen in ages.
You're so sweet because we feel like shit right now. Well, great. We're so glad that you think we're cute.
Thank you. Yeah.
Now, are your kids in the other room? Or are they?
No, we're in like our podcast office right now in a different location. So to separate, we have a kid turning 10 and one 4. So
they're with grandma having dinner right now. Takeout. Takeout.
Before
right?
we set up the podcast room, we were doing it out of our closet, which was really
We used to go to iHeart. Exactly.
And then the pandemic hit and we were like, oh shoot, we got to figure out a podcast space. So we had to hide from the kids in our closet and we have this whole thing going on with like shoes on this side. And
it was comical.
So now we got
we have a room now that is going to be renovated and fixed up. So we're very excited.
It looks beautiful in the background. You guys are right next to me. I have a 4-year-old and I live off of Little Canyon.
Oh my God. You know what? The first house, I moved here many years ago, almost 20 years ago with a show called Family. And I remember that I got that show and I thought I'm rich, even though looking back, I was making zero, right? Nothing, very, very little. But at the moment, I was so young. It was my first series regular. I'm going,
I made it.
Exactly.
You're going to buy all your friends' houses and you're going to go to Tulum. You're going to go to the Maldives.
So listen, what is something crazy? I rented this house, an incredible view. Like when you're going down Laurel, you see it, right? It has stilts. Is it called stilts?
Yep.
And yeah, it was three levels. Ooh. I thought like, and it was empty. It was just, I said, my life, my dreams, I want a grand piano. So I had a grand piano, a big TV, a couch, and a bedroom set. And I thought I was rich. It was the funniest thing. Then the show got canceled a year later. And I'm like, I have no money.
She's selling her grand piano. She's selling her clothes, living out of a car.
Yeah, like, what happened with my money? I don't think I can live here anymore. What the heck am I doing? Like a lunatic. Isn't that crazy?
Look, it takes so many years for, I think, an actor to realize that we make 30% off of our paycheck,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly.
So it's not until like they walk into their CPA's office. They're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
No.
I'm so much.
After you've paid all your agents and managers, you've paid your lawyers, you've paid maybe a business manager, and now you've paid a publicist.
Can we talk about that? We only make 30%. Yeah, because between agents and managers and California taxes, which I keep telling him, we need to get the heck out of California. These taxes are killing us. It's brutal.
No, it's nuts. It's nuts to live out here. It's really, really wild. It's really wild.
I mean, so you know, you've been in the business for like 30 years, right?
I've been in this business. Yeah, I'm 46 now. And I got Taft-Hartley'd when I was 13.
Wow.
13, 23. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. 33 years.
And you got we're saying you got 100 and over 140 acting credits on IMDb, which is incredible. I mean, you've been on a ton of hit shows. You're doing obviously Guilty Party right now. You're doing a bunch of things. Euphoria, you have all kinds of stuff going on.
Yeah, it was so great.
What I'm like super fascinated by is you're a voice actress as well. You do tons of voice work.
I just sort of fell into it. It's a really weird thing. I started in theater, and then, you know, once you do theater in New York, what happens is that TV producers fly out to New York to go and see everyone on stage so that they can hire them for a pilot. You know what I mean? Every single actor, it seems, from New York that does stage always ends up on TV. And so that sort of, you know, happened. It just happened. And I thought, oh, I guess I'm on TV and I'm playing the best friend. I guess I'm funny. I'm funny? Okay, great. Let's do that. Whatever works.
Yes.
And it was, and it's interesting, but, you know, starting out as a 13-year-old, 14, 15-year-old, you know, to be Hispanic, to be Latinx, as we now call it, it was very taboo, and there were absolutely no roles for Latinas, and it was it's very interesting and so exciting how, you know, the business has evolved into what it is now, mm-hmm. and everything is all, you know, everything is inclusive and people are so much more culturally sensitive than they used to be back in the 80s when I started. But anyway, I digress.
I want to go back to the beginning a little bit before we continue talking about your voice work. So I'm very curious about, so your father is Puerto Rican, your mom is Mexican.
My father was from Santurce.
Oh my God. I grew up, yo nací en Santurce, en el Hospital San Jorge en Santurce.
Boricua. Boricua. Sí. En Santurce, pero mi español es así, cuando era joven.
Mi es horrible, so don't worry about it.
Okay. so you grew up here in California. You grew up in the States.
Los Ángeles, toda mi vida.
Okay.
Pero when my father was from San Juan, y mamá es de México.
And how did they meet?
They met scouting lovers on salsa night at the Hollywood Palladium. And my mother had red hair and freckles and these giant boobs and alabaster skin. And my dad thought, oh, she looked like Lucille Ball. And so he asked her to dance, and she heard an accent, and she's habla español. Sí. Yo soy un puertorriqueño. She's like, soy una mexicana. And he was just floored. He was so excited that this woman who looked like Lucille Ball was Mexican. And she liked his light blue eyes, legend has it, and his chiclet straight teeth. And they got married and started a business in LA off of Venice and Hoover. It was a lithography business. Lithography is the VHS to computer graphics Blu-ray.
Wow. Oh my goodness. Okay.
So you know, he basically found an interesting quick way to, you know, to basically, I don't know, produce these publications, these magazines in a very quick way, in and out, became the name of his business. And my mom was his bookkeeper and she was his second in command. And they started a family in Downey, because Downey was like the closest, safest, you know, suburb, just 25 minutes south of downtown LA. A lot of business owners in downtown LA, Latin, would settle in Downey.
I know Downey well. I grew up in La Puente, City of Industry,
which is all good.
Yeah. No.
I don't know where. Bonita. Mira, this is my mother's Chihuahua, Bonita.
It's from La Puente?
She is.
No way.
Oh, my God.
She was found roaming the streets of La Puente. Oh,
no way.
So she was rescued.
We never heard her bark. She's the coolest dog ever.
Oh, my God. Oh. She doesn't look like a Chihuahua,
no, she's
though.
A very
what
fluffy
is that?
Chihuahua. I love.
Yeah, she's a long-haired Chihuahua. She's super old. And my mother, who passed away this year, left me her dog. So
from La Puente.
From La
Puente. Which is unbelievable.
Oh, Bonita from La Puente.
Super attached to your dog
now. Oh my God, that's
really funny. Hysterical. It's a funny thing. My mother gets a phone call one day from her cousin who fosters dogs. And she was like, Sidna, I have a dog that looks just like you. My mom's like, oh, bring her over.
That's wonderful.
So you grew up in Downey, right?
Born and raised. In fact, we just sold the house where I was born and raised right after my mother passed away. She had a very aggressive cancer. And she was diagnosed in October and passed on like 4 months later.
Oh, wow.
She was 81 though. She had a very long.
Where was the cancer?
It was a liver cancer, liver carcinoma. And she had, it's actually, speaking of, when she came from through Tijuana when she was three.
Okay.
And when polio came around, her parents took her to a pediatrician, and the pediatrician did blood work. And they said, wait a second, her liver enzymes are very high. Did she have hepatitis ever? Mm. And of course, my grandparents were like, hepatitis, what do you mean? What is that? What, you know? And he said, because she's so young, her body healed itself, but her liver got compromised.
Oh my God.
So her whole life, you know, it wasn't such a huge surprise that she would end up with that kind of disease, but it was shocking how aggressive and how quick she ebbed.
Yeah, that was months. But, wow, that's so sad.
It was tough, but yes, I digress. We were, after selling the house where I was born and raised in Downey just this year, it was really wild to say goodbye to the 562, right? To your childhood home, to the, you know, all of the streets that you remember, all of the places where you hung out, the parking lots where you made out with boys, where you, you know, smoked your first joint in that one house in Lakewood.
Yeah.
That whole area to me is my childhood. It was my youth. And, you know, it's just you say goodbye to a lot when a parent passes.
Do you have
away,
siblings?
Yeah,
I have an older sister. She's 11 years older, and my aunt, who is very much like my sibling, is my mother's sister.
Uh-huh.
My mother's, you know, technically took her in and almost adopted her from the time she was seven. Both of their parents passed away by the time my aunt was 7 years old.
Oh, wow.
So my mom took her under her wing, and she's been like a sister too. So it's the three of us right now. We're sort of the last of that generation, I guess, in a way.
Yeah.
It's the end of an era. It's the end of a chapter, you know, when you lose a parent that, especially when they died in the same house where you were born. There's something very obviously unique about that.
Well, I'm sure your mom's been very proud of everything you've accomplished out throughout your life and in your career. Probably your number one fan.
She was very entertained by the fact that I wanted to be an actor. When I was a kid, we were at Stonewood Mall and I was in line, and she put me on Santa's lap. And usually Santa says, you know, very loud what the kid wants so that parents can hear and they can go and get that. Mm-hmm. But I
I was on Santa's lap and he said, well, what is it that you want? And I said, I want a stage, like a really big, nice stage.
Oh, wow.
And he said, oh, she wants a Barbie stage. And my mom said that I was like, no, Santa, I want a stage for me. I want a really nice big stage.
I'm the Barbie.
Or like the living room. And I could have, you know, and I could do my shows every Friday night for my family.
Oh, wow.
And so my mom and dad thought it was hilarious. And my father's very good friend was a carpenter. So he ended up going to American Home Shopping Center and getting all this
They
wood.
Built you a stage?
And they built me this little stage. As a joke, like thinking it was hysterical to like, you
little
know.
They know they were building your career. Exactly. At an early age. They were sending you on your way.
That's awesome.
Well, my dad was a big gambler. He loved his crap. So we would go out to Vegas, speaking of which, all the time.
Uh-huh.
So when we were out in Vegas and he would have a really good crap day, that sounded weird. Yeah. But when he would win money on craps, he'd say, okay, let's go see a show. Let's go to a dinner show. Let's go to see, you know, Charo Live or Gloria Estefan or Donnie and Marie or the Jackson Five. I mean, whoever it was, we would have like front row. The table was right there and we'd enjoy our prime rib and watch, you know, Captain and Tennille or, Wayne Newton.
That's awesome.
Whoever it was. So when I was a kid, I would be, you know, I was exposed to this at a very early age. And I thought, oh my gosh, do these people go to the bathroom? Do they go to sleep or anything? Are they real up there? And my mom said, absolutely. These people actually practice and they go up on that stage and they do it almost every night. And then they go home just like us. And yes, they go to the bathroom because I was convinced in my head as a 5-year-old that these people were put in boxes afterwards.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And then right before they were wound up and then sent back on That's stage. So but you know, so, whatever it was, I wanted to be a part of this energy.
But yeah. When did you move to New York?
Yeah, I was gonna say, how does a girl from Downey end up in New York?
When I was 15, I joined Lee Strasberg Institute when I was 10. I started going to acting school. And then I was Taft-Hartley doing a pilot. When I was 15, there was this open call at the Debbie Reynolds studio for a girl who played a 15-year-old and would age to 20. And, you know, I was 15, but I always looked older than my age. And I auditioned and they hired me and they thought I was in my 20s. Mm-hmm. So they said, you know, would it be possible for you to get an apartment in New York? And I said, let me ask my mom because I'm 15. And they were like, what this is crazy. I don't know if if this is even legal. But my mom said, you know what, it's fine, it's the end of summer and I could do all of the bookkeeping and everything in New York. And so we went out there and lived there for the run of the show. And I fell in love with New York. And, you know, I guess I have a very New York thing about me. So I started getting hired on a lot of New York gigs. So I was always out there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's funny, the indie films that were getting made, a lot of them shot in New York back in the 90s. And so I found myself out there all the time.
Wow.
So yeah, that's basically.
And did you just homeschool at that point, or you just go to school back in Downey and then you go to New York occasionally?
I went to L'Elysée Français. It's this French school in Los Angeles. And
Los Feliz? The one around Los Feliz?
Yeah, Los Feliz, that's claro. There's one in Los Feliz and there's one in Culver City.
Okay, yeah.
Well, they're cool enough because they're European. they were cool enough to FedEx me tests, whatever homework that I needed, and I would FedEx it back to them. Oh, wow. So this is obviously pre-internet, right?
Pre-internet, so pre-fax, like pre-everything.
Yeah, exactly. This is the old school. I almost went to, this is, speaking of the VHS to, you know, the Blu-rays online school. But I'd be like FedExing back and forth my, you know, my exams and everything. And my mom had to prove that she was in the actual room when I was taking the exam. So they knew I wasn't cheating. And it was just, you know,
made it work for your dream.
I know.
How did you fall? I mean, like you said, you kind of fell into this a little bit, but you didn't fall into it because you had a passion to act. There's no question. You knew at an early age you were a performer. But how did you sort of roll into the voice side of things, because my understanding is, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but like I was joking with her before you came on, I was like, I always wanted to do voice work. I always wanted to have, like, I'd try for commercials. I'd try for this and that. And I had a voice agent and I would never get anything. I never got a job. And I hear it's like a very tight knit mob, the voice world, like to break in and get in. Like once you're in, you can keep like rolling it, but it's tough to get in.
You know what? It really depends. Not necessarily. I started out doing sort of, do you remember those? There were these ABC after school specials.
Yeah.
My manager was representing an actress who did a lot of voiceover work, and she, and I was in my 20s and I wasn't working a lot. And she said, have you ever, what about meeting with Vox? And Vox was this talent agency. And I sat down, I had an interview with them, and they started sending me out on roles for little boys, because I think what the agent had heard in my voice was she could play a boy. A boy, and she's older, and they can work her obviously any time during the day. And that was basically what happened. I started going out for little boy roles. What I had over everyone else was that I was, you know, a grown woman, and I could drive myself, and they wouldn't have to pay for schooling or anything like that. So that's basically what happened. I sort of fell into doing nothing but little boys from the
ages. Are you amazing with accents? You can do like all kinds of accents.
Here and there, sure. Yeah. Really? You know, I mean, you do it out of fun when you're around all of your friends. And then when you actually get that audition or the side to your end, you're like, oh my gosh, this is for real now.
Yeah.
Now I really have to take it seriously.
Wow. And have you played a lot of Latinas, Alana?
I have. Well, this is what always gives me hope, because I don't exactly look classically
Latina. What I'm asking. That's what I'm saying. They probably will tell you, oh my God, you don't look Latina. You're fair skinned. You have light eyes, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And I think I obviously was raised by two Latins. I have all of my cousins are Latin, everything. Mm-hmm. So I know that cultura. I know the culture. I'm aware of the, the essence. Mm-hmm. And so I think that really obviously getting called in was very difficult for my manager pre-internet to sell me as a Latina. But when I finally went in and I'd actually play the role, they were like, oh yeah. Oh, sure. She is. You know, it's funny when people don't realize that Mexico is a giant country. Yes. And there was a huge German influx.
Oh yeah. People understand with Latinos in general, it's fascinating to me, because you see it even in Puerto Ricans, like you can, but one of our closest friends are blonde, you know, very light skin. Some like Brenda's blue eyes, I think. Like,
sure.
You can look, her dad's very light. Our son, he's half, but our son's blonde like I was as a kid, and just a white boy.
My kid is, but like people think I'm the nanny. People don't believe. Like I have one kid that the girl is me, like dark skin, dark eyes, dark hair with his face. Right. And then the little one, Dylan, is white as it goes, white hair, hazel eyes, but my little face. It's the weirdest thing. And nobody believes it's my kid. I'm going, it's my kid.
Well, and like with is your last name, is that your maiden last name, or is that your married last name?
You know, it's funny when we always thought it was really strange that my father had a German last name.
Yeah.
And when he passed away, first of all, we pronounced it Eubach. Uh-huh. Before he passed away. When he passed away, finally something called Facebook came around, and I thought, I wonder where the other Eubachs are. And so I went on Facebook. They're all in Spain. All in Spain. And I got on the phone with one of those Eubachs, and we were talking, and he said, by the way, you're pronouncing it wrong. It's Ubach.
Ubach?
And I said, oh, I am? He's like, yeah. Please don't say
Ubach. So it's a Spanish last name, or it's a German last name?
It's a Spanish last name. I think that maybe during the war, there may have been Sephardic Jews in Spain that may have manipulated it to make it sound more German.
Interesting.
Oh, wow. It was originally sounded a little more.
How are you pronouncing it now?
Ubach. I had that conversation one from Spain, I thought, oh my God, I didn't pronounce it wrong.
Now with our industry very, you know, much more open to diversity, you actually have to prove yourself as a Latina. That's, you're like, look, I swear, I'm half Mexican, I'm half Puerto Rican. My German last name is really Spanish. I swear, I am Latina.
You have to bring it down. You have to break it down. It's, you know, we are all mutts at the end of the day. My mother's from Mexico, and of course, her last name is Gonzalez, which is, she always said, you know, como los perros. You know, there are more, you know, as many Gonzalez's. As there,
it's
as
like Sanchez. Dogs. They're everywhere. Yeah. I'm Sanchez Rodriguez. Not only Sanchez, Sanchez Rodriguez, which is the most common thing. Yeah,
in the early business, you would have been fine. Like, I'm not Latin. I swear. I can play a white girl. What do you want me to play? And now you're like, right. I swear I'm Latin. Hire me. I'm a Latina. Look, I promise you.
Oh my God.
Well put. Well put.
And then, so now you've gone on, like you're doing, right now you have a season 2 of Crossing Swords on Hulu, right? That's a voice. That's another voice gig. And you have Monster. You just did the sequel to Monsters, Inc., right?
Monsters at Work is basically a TV show based on Monsters, Inc.
A TV show based on Monsters, Inc., yeah. You did a voice on that too.
That's right, on Disney Plus. Disney has been very good to me. Thank you, Disney. Good.
Wood everywhere. It's the best gig ever. I was trying to tell Roz, and I was like, being a voice actor, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. It's great to be in front of the camera too, but being a voice actor, it's so cool. You can dress how you want. You show up, you do your stuff, you get paid. It's great.
You could show up naked and it's fine.
That's the
great thing about it. And you get to play all these characters that you would never be able to play in front of the camera, right? You know, these funny little characters that I love to show my son. He's just starting to understand what I do for a living. But when I show him, you know, this little crab with a tool belt on and I say, this is me. And that's me. He's still trying to understand it. When I do the voice, he's, you know, everything sort of
blows his mind.
Jarring to him, but he's just starting to comprehend, you know, all of the different layers to making a cartoon or to making any kind of production, right?
Wow.
But yeah, it's a lot of fun. I'm starting we're just about to wrap the second season for Euphoria
and
for Flight Attendant.
You're doing both at the same time.
Yes. The great thing about being a reoccurring is that you can jump from this one, production, to that production, to this production.
But great productions, by the way, great shows. So that's really incredible. Do you have a preference? Do you see yourself always teetering the line between voice and on screen? Do you see yourself working behind this, off screen in general as in a producing side, or where do you see your career continuing to go? Cause you're doing both. You can
in all honesty, this is, I'll be really honest. You know, the reason why I do have so many credits is because I've said yes to everything. And most of the roles on those, you know, projects were very small. So I'd have a day there, 2 days there, 3 days there. And if you put it all together, yes, it does look like I have a ton of credits and, you know, this, that, and the other, but I still have to audition. I still have to put myself on tape. I'm still having to prove myself.
When are you going
to
have your own show? You need your own single cam.
Oh, oh my God. Fingers crossed. I have a little something coming on.
Oh, we'll good. See. I'm so glad. Because I see it. I'm looking at you and I see you speak and I see your energy and I feel your energy. And I'm going, she needs to have her own show. What is
comedy.
Going on?
It's true. It turns out you can do comedy. Because I'm like, I'm watching. I'm like, she's really cool.
No,
comedy.
Like incredible. It's like a star. I'm going like, really why is not somebody just saying Alana has like the freaking Alana show? You know what I mean? It's like, what the heck is going on?
We'll see. Well, you know, if I do have it, then you guys have to come on as guest stars as perhaps my crazy neighbors next door.
100%.
And maybe like maybe you guys have like these really crazy swinger parties. Peas in the bowl. those are the keys in the box of keys in the bowl.
You'll love that. He'll be all for it.
I love that. She's all of a sudden said I'm a swinger.
I'm not saying
that's
that.
So interesting.
You love to play that character.
Yeah, no problem.
I want to ask you guys a question. How did you guys come up with this podcast idea?
Oh my goodness.
It's been a road. You know, we are very opposite people in general, our marriage, our personalities, our culture. Although we laugh because I grew up in La Puente and I think I'm like,
he thinks he's Mexican.
I'm Mexican. It's very funny. Like I grew up eating another Mexican food, going quinceañeras. Like everything was just, that's all the girls I dated were Latinas. Like that's just how my life always was growing up. So she met me and was like, you know, this crazy white guy is hitting on me. Da, da, da. And
I find him so odd. I was like, who are you?
He passed for Greek or Italian. Just saying.
We've always had this banter with each other and this just difference in opinion about everything. And right. People that have been around us through all the years, they're like, wow, you guys really seem to make this work. Your marriage, like, you've been together a long time, but you guys are so different. Like, everything that comes out of your mouth is always something that you guys are just always like this. Right. And not to mention, I'm a water sign. Like, she's an Aries. I'm a Cancer. Like, it's just all these things shouldn't match up. And we got approached a while back to try to possibly put together a TV idea at the time. And we were in the process of development on it. And I got my TV show and she got a TV show. We've both been unavailable since to revisit that. And iHeart had approached us and said, hey, you guys, kind of noticing the same thing. You guys have this really fun banter and you guys address the world and see things from such a different perspective. Let's put that on its feet. And we had, you know, he said, ella dijo.
And we thought it was convenient. It's a podcast, you know, it's more casual, it's more comfortable. And then we're like, let's call it, let's make it funny. And, you know, it's interesting because this is the second season now. And it's like evolving, right? It changes. It started very funny and people would get a kick out of like the banter and all that. But we thought it was easy. It's a podcast. It doesn't feel as intrusive because we don't have cameras. We don't have people. Like, it's
therapy.
Not reality TV. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, right. Like you can still keep your private life. You only share so much because I don't have somebody follow me or giving me a script of what to say and what to do.
Sure.
And it has become lovely and we have a blast and it's like a couples therapy. We work through so much stuff through the podcast and people get a kick out of it. We always keep, again, because we're actors and we produce, we want to make sure that you keep some kind of, not mystery. What's the word? Privacy. Not privacy. You know, privacy.
No, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Yes. It's incredibly important, especially nowadays where everything is recorded.
Exactly.
Everything is out there in the ethers for everyone to see or remember, or never let go of. And
yes,
for people to cancel, for people to
I know,
and that's
I know.
Been, that's
it's a wild, it's
like,
a wild time.
Yeah. Listeners get a kick out of breaking down this wall of like, they're in the entertainment business. What's it like for these people? And also meeting people like you know, other actors, actresses come on and
we've had great,
directors,
great
we've had all different types of people come on,
yeah.
Especially this season. Like yourself, and people get to hear what it's like, how they broke through, what, you know, the struggles, the ups and downs, all those things that are unique to our business that people don't really wrap their head around. Everybody thinks it happens so easily.
And it's very interesting to them because there's like all the stories that we hear through the guest stars, you know, everybody has a different journey and the listeners that are not part of the business, you know, that see us the way you saw those people on stage when you were five, like you think that they're untouchable. They're not normal people. You know, they get to hear, no, we go through all the same that you go through, even though it's a different career. You know what I mean? We
To
this day, we've been working, I've been doing this for 25 years and I still go through the same thing you go through. You know, I'm very lucky. I have my own show, you know, but I have to fight for things 95% of the time.
It's wild.
You know what I mean? It's really,
you constantly have to prove yourself over and over.
Constantly.
And over again.
It doesn't matter what you've done. They act like they have never seen you before and go, no, but I've played a cop 5 times before. I can show you. No, we want to hear the lines. You know what I mean? Exactly. It's really interesting. So yeah, it's a journey. You know, it's a journey. So, but we're enjoying it. You know, and iHeart has been very good to us, and it's a laugh. It's a laugh. Sometimes we have really, really funny episodes. It's been lovely.
Oh, it's fantastic! Yeah. Knock on wood. I'm so excited to meet someone who's actually born and raised in Los Angeles because we are a rare breed.
Especially coming from our part, like when you say 30 minutes east and you try to describe where you grew up and like people never like the city of industry, La Puente, is famous for Back to the Future. You know, we had the Puente Hills Mall, which is where the big Back to Future 1, the car took off. And that was like a huge deal where I grew up. But people don't. I mean, the only person I know that was famous that came from my area when I was a kid was Fergie. She went to my rival high school and we're similar grades. Like, she's a couple years older, but she was at my, you know, at my rival high school and on Kids Incorporated at the time,
of course,
which was a huge deal.
A child actor.
And so we were always like, oh my God, who's this actor? Da, 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 da. And, for me to be a guy out of La Puente and end up doing this for a living has been a trip to most people I know.
Well, it's like showgirls being born and raised in Nevada and Vegas. Yeah. It was their calling. I mean, they were around all the time. It was just a matter of time.
Yeah. It is amazing. Well, thank you so much. So, Alana, you have The Flight Attendant. You have the show with Kate Bessinger. Euphoria.
Guilty Party. Yeah.
three things at the same time.
What's it called on Hulu? It's called Crossing Swords.
On Hulu. Yes.
Four.
It's a crazy little, it's all with these funny little peg characters and it's dirty and raunchy and you guys will love it. Mm-hmm. And Monsters, Inc. and Harriet the Spy on PBS. That's something that's come out and that's really cool. I'm the bully of the school. It seems like this year has been all about the bitches and the bullies.
I love how versatile you are. It's awesome.
We got to work together. We got to find something. Oh, yeah.
We're going to listen. We're trying to know that we
like. He's in the bowl. Neighbors.
Keys in the bowl.
you guys never wear clothes. You're always naked.
We're always naked. Oh, my God.
You're out there just mowing your lawn. Hey, there he is again. Keys in the bowl. Naked. Why is he wearing any clothes?
That's great.
I love it. Thank you for hanging with us.
I appreciate it.
You're amazing. Thank you so much.
Hopefully, we can meet in person one day.
Please.
Yes, would love it.
Please.
Would love it.
Blessings. Un abrazo. Cuídate. Bye bye. Bye.
Encantada.
Bye bye.
Bye.
See you soon.
Well, that was a great interview with Alana.
Great conversation.
Yeah, really. I mean, again, to have a career that spans over 30 years, which, you know, you and I have both been in the business a long time, but 30 years working pretty much nonstop, I would think, for the most part, having that many credits.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to have breaks. You're going to have those moments of ups and downs, but clearly she's been doing her thing. I just love all the voice work. That to me is impressive.
That's awesome.
Being able to balance both. Thank you so much,
Alana, for spending time with us. And then, okay, so we're done with Thanksgiving. Now we have to transition into Christmas. And Santa Claus. Ugh. And Eric has been shopping, going to Amazon like there is no tomorrow.
Well, I had to return something because we had that whole debate about, like, she wanted an Apple Watch, which I just feel like she's too young to get this right now. To me, it feels like another way of getting too quickly into technology. I don't know, we had a big debate about that.
These kids know so much about technology.
That's fine, but she has a phone, but she doesn't have a phone for making phone calls. It's almost like
we have a responsibility to make sure that they are up to date and they are.
I say keep them as innocent as you can. I'm not talking about keeping them innocent as possible. No, but making them more in the know technologically, I think, takes away from the innocence that we had as a kid. It's like makes them more device reliant. You know, I never forget her first grade teacher telling me, just keep everything away from as long as you can, which is unrealistic to like completely shelter him from technology. But
I think we do a really good job with Sebi because Sebi is very technological, but Sebi is also a sporty kid that spends a lot of time outdoors. So it's not like we have that child that is inside a bedroom all day long after when they come back from school and all they do is computers and games and video games and this. I don't want to say that there's anything wrong with that. No, I don't want anybody thinking weird. What I'm saying is, I think as parents, we're actually creating an incredible balance with this little girl about making sure that she's technology savvy and at the same time, making her enjoy life and nature.
We're definitely trying.
And sports.
What I can tell you about Christmas that I'm not looking forward to is the elves on the shelf because...
Oh, we have to do that again.
I gotta do this again for all these.
What do you mean?
First of all, what do you mean?
You just didn't do it. I don't do anything. I clean it up afterwards.
No, but you get, because you get annoyed. They're supposed to stay there all day.
Oh my God. The second they go to school, I'm going to need to.
I have to come up with all these concepts again.
I know, but this year, he's very committed to it. You're very committed to it.
Oh, it's so draining. But this year, she, I think for the first time, is really, really solidly convinced that Santa is not real.
She's giving us a hard time. Yeah.
She's basically said every time, why do you want my list? So you can go buy me everything.
She figured it out.
But now the whole thing is I got to keep her honest for Dylan because she keeps blabbing it out. I said, well, look, believe whatever you want to believe. But if you ruin Christmas for Dylan, then you aren't getting anything from Santa or from me, whoever you think's giving it.
And Dylan is so excited about the tree.
Oh my God.
I came back from Vegas, guys, and the tree was up. It wasn't decorated, but it was up because the guy came to put it up. We have a fake tree.
Breaks my heart. It's an amazing fake tree, but it breaks my heart because I love real trees.
But it's beautiful. So this kid.
But the guy was only available now, which is like really early to put the tree
up. So, but anyways, before we decorated the tree, he's been so excited.
So excited.
He's living for this thing. I was working when
the tree got put up and my mom said he went to bed just saying, all I want to do is hug the tree. I want to hug the tree. He loves the Christmas tree.
So
we got to keep him, you know, going as long as we can with this whole Santa thing. But yeah. Sebi can't, I don't think she'll run it. She'll be a good big sister, but we have our work cut out for us. So I might just make her do all the Elf on the Shelf stuff. Put her to work. Have her come up with new ideas every time. But she might think that's still real.
Yeah, she thinks that's real.
That's the crazy thing. Santa's fake, but the freaking fake Elf on the Floor is real.
Yeah, no, she believes in that.
But how do you believe?
And she believes in the three kings. She hasn't questioned the three kings yet. So let's keep that going. Anyways, it's going to be interesting. This was beautiful. Thank you. I love you.
Love you too.
Subscribe to He Said Ella Viejo on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere you get your podcasts.